This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the leader for the Democrat nomination for president doubles down on his pro-Castro, pro-communist Cuba comments in a CNN town hall. What will he face tonight as the Democrats debate again?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
He destroyed freedoms in that country. He played, picked winners and losers and killed them and put them in prison forever. You don't give him a pat on the back for anything.
You don't give, it's not a question. Truth is truth. All right?
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing. I have been extremely consistent and critical of all authoritarian regimes all over the world, including Cuba, including Nicaragua, including Saudi Arabia, including China, including Russia. I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
Welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. This is Jordan Sekulo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And of course, you just heard Bernie Sanders doubling down on comments he made in the past as a very radical mayor, you know, in Vermont, and kind of a radical socialist and someone who visited this, you know, they make a big deal. He went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon, but he's now doubling down, not backing away for his praise of the Cuban regime, Fidel Castro, and now it's moved on to other dictators in Cuba. And this idea, by the way, let me tell you how many votes this gets you in South Florida, which is a pretty big state for Florida. I just got back from Florida last night. Okay? Just got back. I was on the plane. I just overheard a conversation from a young Cuban business guy talking to an older white guy from Florida. Okay? One was from Tennessee. One is from Florida. Neither one of them said they were like big fans of Trump. They weren't like, always voting Republican or always, you know, they were kind of independent voters. But the guy from Florida who was Cuban said, you know, my family runs away from any time that someone uses the word socialism or communism or socialist in a positive light. And then when they start praising the country our family literally ran away from, we're not going to just sit back. We're going to vote for the guy running against that, even if it is Donald Trump, and we're concerned about some of the other policies, including his policies towards Cuba and trying to reopen there. And the white guy sitting next to him from Tennessee said, yeah, of course, there's no way. If it's Bernie Sanders, that's not even a choice for me. I'll be the first one in line to vote against him, to vote for Donald Trump against Bernie Sanders. So you understand that this is significant, folks, in states that matter. You know, we may all just say crazy Bernie talking, praising communists, praising socialists, but we have a significant population centers in our country of people who have fled communism, whether it is Eastern European families that fled communism in the 80s and socialism, whether it is Cuban families who are still fleeing it in places like South Florida, but now throughout the country with Cuban populations growing. And I will tell you this, there's a reason why the DNC is so scared. There's a reason why the headline is, now get this headline, I almost laugh, because there's another Democrat debate tonight, because the South Carolina primary is Saturday. I almost laugh, because they say that it's going to be Mike Bloomberg is going to come in and nuke Bernie Sanders. And I just remember Mike Bloomberg last week. He couldn't nuke anybody. So the fact that they're going to have the billionaire nuke this guy on socialism, to me, not great optics anyways, plays into Bernie's hands. Because, Than, as you said just briefly, none of this is hurting Bernie Sanders, we don't believe, at least in the Democrat primary. Maybe it hurts him a little bit in South Carolina. Maybe Joe Biden squeaks out a win there. But again, squeaks out a win there. Not some giant victory. And then he gets into Super Tuesday into states like California where they love communism.
Jordan, I think you're right that he just lost Florida in the general election. I don't think these comments hurt him a bit in the primary. It shows you just how radical this primary electorate is right now.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls about this. 1-800-684-3110. Yes, another Democrat debate tonight.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Yeah, I would say there's a reason why Democrats should be pretty nervous today, because it's pretty tough to win the presidential election if you have no chance in Florida. And Bernie Sanders just burned. Literally, you want to feel the burn? They're not feeling it in Florida and those 29 electoral votes. It may help him during the primary to be a radical communist, socialist, praising Fidel Castro's literacy program, which, as the news has reported, was actually a program to make sure that they could spread communist propaganda through the population that was primary. You know, you had a very agricultural population and a lot of, you know, not people in big cities, and not trying to praise the previous dictatorial regime in Cuba, but again, people, there was illiteracy rates. So they used a literacy program, which we've seen time and time again, in places like China as well, to spread propaganda. Because it's tougher to spread the propaganda if the people can't read it. And at that day and time, it was, you know, getting television into those kind of cities and towns was difficult. So audio was difficult. So you needed to be able to spread it through the written word. And so you needed to get people literate. And so it was worth it to the regime to have a literate public. But as Harry will point out, the Cubans were already very literate to begin with.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that Cuba was one of the most literate countries in Latin America before Fidel Castro took over. And number two, that countries like Ecuador and others in Latin America have made huge strides in literacy without imprisoning and killing their citizens. And then number three, the major objective of the Cuban program was not literacy, but indoctrination. So what Bernie Sanders effectively was praising last night with respect to the Cuban literacy program is that he was literally praising communist propaganda. And I think that is absolutely clear.
Yeah, I mean, he even went so far. Okay, so not only did he double down on Cuba, he then goes to China. China. Take a listen to this. This is Bernie Sanders last night. Okay, this is not like Bernie Sanders in 1980. It's Bernie Sanders last night talking, praising an authoritarian regime. Bernie Sanders loves authoritarians. He wants to be an authoritarian. He wants the government to take an authoritarian role and have some people's, you know, committee controlling every aspect of your life, because it's not just about Cuba and these small countries or praising what used to be in the Soviet Union. It's about praising what is right now a superpower like China, Byte 18.
China is an authoritarian country, becoming more and more authoritarian. But can anyone deny, I mean, the facts are clear, that they have taken more people out of extreme poverty than any country in history?
I mean, to me, it's sickening. Okay? It's sickening to make that comment about China, Wes. Mm-hmm. First of all, more and more authoritarian? Tell that to Chairman Mao. Yep. That they're more authoritarian now than they were then, and when literally millions of people were being killed. People are still being sent away into prisons. They talk about organ harvesting, the one-child policy, forced abortion. I mean, the list goes, the no religious freedom. The list goes on and on. The idea that it's more and more authoritarian, no, it's the same level of authoritarianism. We just see it now more clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Him trying to extol the virtues of people like Fidel Castro or the communist Chinese is sort of like saying, you know, Osama bin Laden was a good family man because he had so many kids, or the Unabomber was an extremely bright guy. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Since the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks, founded the first, quote, socialist republic in 1917, over 100 million people have died at the hands of communists and socialists, and many of those are actually in China. And you can't deny the fact that, I mean, and he doesn't want to admit this, he's denied it, but communism is the first cousin of socialism. They're connected at the root, and attempts to dress up socialism and downplay its communist attributes literally have not worked. And everywhere that socialism has become the dominant policy, it has become the nightmare of government control and oppression wherever it exists.
Yes. I mean, you talk about the Cultural Revolution, things like that in China, leading to probably millions of people killed. I mean, but again, it's propaganda. That lasted for 11 years, more than a decade, 30 million deaths. 30 million deaths in these kind of programs. And he just says, well, they're becoming more authoritarian, but no one can deny that they're taking people out of poverty. The people that they choose, Harry, because the other people are just killed off or disappeared.
Absolutely. So I think it can be very effective, at least in the short run, to slaughter people in order to move a nation forward. The Chinese have done it. The Soviet Union has done it. And by the way, Bernie Sanders has actually praised breadlines in the Soviet Union. And so if you look at China, if you look at Russia, and if you read a book called The Age of Social Catastrophe, it's very likely that both of those communist regimes together killed approximately 60 to 80 million of their citizens. And so that is true authoritarianism. And apparently Bernie Sanders is prepared to give those countries a pass so long as their literacy rate goes up, so long as they have bread lines, and so long as they make economic progress. I think the American people would do well to reject Bernie Sanders' mathematics.
Yeah, I mean, instead, why not praise freedom and a constitution with the separation of powers that protects us from authoritarianism at all cost, that gives us the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom of religion, the freedom to petition our government for redress of grievances and not be afraid. I mean, the freedom to sue our government, take our government to court. And Than, we have victories to report. We'll do it, and we could do one now, but where groups sued the Trump administration. Now, they did it in the Ninth Circuit. They lost. That's a huge win for it happens to be for life, but those groups had the right to file the lawsuit against the executive branch, against the president of the United States and his HHS. That's freedom. That's a constitutional republic. That's not how it works in China or Cuba. If you're not on this side of the government, there's no place for you.
Well, I would imagine that Senator Sanders would see this as a problem with America, Jordan, because juxtaposed with what you're talking about, how willingly he is to look for these tiny bright spots in his minds in the authoritarian countries, the only thing he sees in America are problems, Jordan. All the things that you pointed out are not things that he sees. But look, There is no doubt but that this ruling from the Ninth Circuit is a victory for life. We've talked a lot about the HHS rule that follows the statute of 1970 and says family planning dollars under Title X shall not be used for organizations that perform or refer for abortions. Jordan, that's what the law says. And this administration, for the first time, not just Republicans and Democrats, for the first time, have tried to implement that according to the law. Jordan, the Ninth Circuit just upheld that again by a vote of 7-4. And again, it's a huge victory for life. But Jordan, just to echo this, it's also a huge victory for the remaking of the federal judiciary that has happened. We've said this before, but 10 of the 29 judges that now sit on the Ninth Circuit have been nominated by this president, and 13 of the 29 have been nominated by Republicans. Jordan, we're used to seeing the left run to the Ninth Circuit to get a victory on anything that they want. That is no longer the case. The Ninth Circuit is now moving very close to the center, and they have just delivered a big victory for life. So I'm sure Senator Sanders isn't going to like it, but I sure do.
Yeah, and it's just an example, though, of that in a free country, if you disagree with your government, you can take them to court. You can take them all the way up to the Supreme Court. The government has to take the fight there. They don't take the fights to the street. They don't take the fights they don't take you off to a secret prison. They don't go after your family. They don't shut down your business or your church or your organization. No, you go about it through the legal processes that we have set up. Equal justice under law. And the administration gets to make its case, and this can be appealed. Now, they were on en banc here at the Ninth Circuit because you had the 11-judge panel. But again, you could have a victory for life. But those pro-abortion groups were able to bring the lawsuit because we live in a country where there's freedom. There's freedom to file lawsuits against the government that you may oppose. So this idea, we're going to start taking your phone calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. And I would love to hear, I know we've already got one caller in, from more folks and the kind of conversations I heard over the weekend being in South Florida, who understand socialism and communism, and some of the responses I was just overhearing in airports and on airplanes to what Bernie Sanders was saying about Fidel Castro. I would love to hear from those families who have fled at 1-800-684-3110, who are listening to the broadcast now. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot of great information up at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And again, to find out about the work that we do, you know, we do so much here today. We talked about the Ninth Circuit victory, but we're also talking about politics. There's a lot of ACLJ work going on, cases going on, policy, government affairs work going on. The place to go is aclj.org. And if you need legal assistance, you go to aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
This is interesting. Joanne on Facebook writes, and you'd think one or more of the Democrat candidates would be able to capitalize on these comments and appeal to the moderate vote. Now, that has been the understanding throughout this primary, is that eventually there'd be a two-person race here between this Sanders and, I guess, the watered-down Bernie Sanders version of Elizabeth Warren's socialism and Medicare for All and those programs. And there'd be some other choice for Democrats. And then, I guess, you know, you had Mayor Pete kind of tie Bernie Sanders in Iowa and come close to second, New Hampshire, but Nevada, Bernie Sanders just blowing away the field. And that was the first time you had a diverse population base. So in the Nevada caucus, now they're going to go to South Carolina. In South Carolina, this is the first place Bernie Sanders is trailing at all significantly, though, with still in most polls within the margin of error. But then the candidate who's likely to win is probably Joe Biden. And he probably, unless he just has another horrible debate and totally underperforms, it looks like he's got the key endorsements there. The African-American community has been on board with his campaign, at least in South Carolina. That firewall may hold. Now, it may barely hold and thus show just how weak his campaign is. It still could crumble at this point. That's probably the toughest state for Bernie Sanders. But then you look to Super Tuesday and you go, well, okay, so what? Joe Biden did this in South Carolina. Where else is he going to do it? I mean, maybe a couple other of the smaller states on Super Tuesday, but certainly not in California. So Mike Bloomberg, we're hearing, Than, is going to try to nuke Bernie Sanders tonight. But if I'm Bernie Sanders, I already have my response. I don't need to listen to you, Mr. Billionaire, to the American people. And let me tell you, that right there neutralizes a lot of it. Even though I don't agree that response should neutralize a lot of it, to a lot of Americans, they'll hear a billionaire complaining about a guy trying to give you free health care and free school and say, well, that's kind of absurd. This is the guy they chose to do this.
Well, the only person that Mayor Bloomberg was able to nuke the last time out was himself. So I would, you know, he can try. He can. And look, I think everybody firing at Senator Sanders actually helps him tonight, Jordan, because he has always tried to pitch himself as being against the establishment. And look, I think most people would predict that Joe Biden is going to win South Carolina. I might be in the minority. I think Senator Sanders might have the momentum to get it over the top. But here's the truth. I mean, Joe Biden needs to win by a lot to change the tide here, Jordan, because if it's close, even if he wins by 5 points, in some ways, that's not that damaging to Senator Sanders, because what it means is you head into Super Tuesday, where he already has a big advantage. You're going to have both Mayor Bloomberg and the vice president sort of splitting the opposition vote. So in some ways, Jordan, it almost lowers the threshold that Senator Sanders has to perform at on Super Tuesday. I just think this is set up in a way that unless something really catastrophic happens by the time we clear Super Tuesday of next week, I think Bernie Sanders is going to be a long way ahead. And Jordan, I think that's true, even if Vice President Biden ekes out a narrow win in South Carolina.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to talk about here. Let me take some calls. Sandra in Arizona online, too. We asked to hear from people who have fled these kind of regimes that Bernie Sanders is praising. We're getting those calls. Sandra, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to say something really quick. I left Cuba 30 years ago.
Yep.
And it hasn't been easy. So I think Bernie Sanders should go and live in Cuba, and see how he likes it.
Yeah.
And then he can talk. He has no clue. And you're right. He's not going to get any votes from the Cubans in Florida. That's for sure. Even though I'm in Arizona, I'm not voting for him.
No, right. I mean, and it's going to change people who, listen, they might have voted for a more moderate Democrat, you know, someone more in line with, I'm not saying like Hillary Clinton, but the policies like Hillary Clinton, trying to re-engage Cuba, try to, you know, maybe take a different approach to Cuba in the Trump administration, but praising the regime, you're actually going to encourage a population, which is still primarily Democrat on paper, to come out. But it's mixed. I mean, it's certainly not. I mean, there's been Republicans elected out of the Cuban community in South Florida and across the country, but they're going to be voting for Donald Trump. And they're going to be first in line to vote against this socialist if Bernie Sanders is the nominee. And I think everybody in the DNC and the Democrat establishment, Wes, they know it.
Yeah.
And it scares them.
It scares them.
Donald Trump could be running against Walter Mondale on steroids with Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your mainstream Democrats, people like Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, have a legitimate reason to actually be concerned. You know, socialism, historically, morally, and politically, is antithetical to all of the principles on which the United States was founded. However, he might have gotten by with some socialist tendencies and some of his programs that he doesn't know how to pay for, but when you start really, revealing the fact that you are enamored with the Soviet Union, that's where he spent his honeymoon, that you're enamored with the some good qualities of people like Fidel Castro, when he refused to call Maduro in Venezuela, refused to call him a dictator, when you start doing things like that and you start espousing people who are responsible for the death and the imprisonment of millions of people, that is bizarre. It is crazy, and he is a liability to the Democrat Party.
No, I mean, there's a reason why the term crazy Bernie starts sounding more and more, not just like something funny to say about this crazy college-looking professor from Vermont with the crazy hair and the 80s TV show and the weird things he said, but because he's actually supporting authoritarian China now and saying there can be no doubt they've taken more people out of poverty. Well, yeah, but they've also killed more people, so their numbers are a bit skewed, Bernie. And you think the tours that you went on to these countries, and I've been to some of these kind of countries like that are in these situations, and if you go as some kind of representative of a group or an organization or as a mayor, you're not going to see the truth. It's very tough sometimes to see the truth. Now, in some countries I've been to, it's so bad they can't really hide it. It's gotten to that point. But in others, you could go on a tour of Cuba and have your nice little time and see your nice little places for 3 days and go. But as Sandra from Arizona said, go live there and then go tell people how you feel about it. Okay, how you feel about this. Go live in Caracas. Don't go tour it with Maduro and his mansions. Go live there as a normal person, even someone who went to college. And see what it's like for them right now. See what they're focused on. Because I guarantee it's trying to get some food on their table for their family, medical care if possible. And by the way, probably their main goal is how do I get out of here if they've got any choice. That's the truth. And those are the people who have the education and maybe the resources to even still try and do that. Because when we talk about these voters across the country, remember, we are not just talking about Cubans. We are talking about Venezuelans. We are talking about Chinese Americans who understand fleeing, Vietnamese Americans who understand fleeing, authoritarian. Now he is now it's not even just communism or socialism. Now he's praising authoritarianism. You know why? The only way you get to free college and Medicare for all is through basically some kind of quasi-authoritarian system where the government controls the wealth. And usually what happens in those governments is that Bernie keeps his houses. Okay, he keeps his homes. But you don't. You don't keep your second home if you have one. You know, you may not even keep ownership of your actual home. It may no longer be private property. We come back. We got a lot of phone calls to take. 1-800-684-3110. On a personal note, let me say, my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, who I love very much, and my wife did as well, is very close as her daughter, passed away this weekend. And I just, prayers for our family. For my wife and for the entire Hanslick family as well. She was a big fan of this radio broadcast and my dad's work. And it was interesting when I first met my wife. She didn't even know that about that, but had been a viewer since the TBN days, the early days of the Case and ACLJ. So prayers for my wife and her family and our family too.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Alejandro on Facebook wrote in, I am Cuban, and my people know firsthand the result of a socialist country. We have so many calls about this. Let me play. First, I want to get into a little bit of South Carolina, and then we're going to get right back into, because I asked people to call about the Cuban comments. We've got a lot of people who have fled Cuba on the phone, people who have left these regimes on the phone that want to talk. But remember, this is all because all these forums were happening because there's another Democrat debate tonight. And again, I would encourage you, if you can stomach it, it's not easy, but if you can, to watch. If you can't, we will cover it for you tomorrow on the broadcast. Give you the key. We'll give you the key. But again, it's one to watch because Bernie Sanders is going to come under full assault for this. Now, as Stan said, he thinks that's going to help Bernie. Now, Joe Biden is forgetting what he said about South Carolina because he's the other big story in this still, as well as Mike Bloomberg. Because Mike Bloomberg said he's going to nuke Bernie. Well, I mean, okay, let's see if Mike Bloomberg can even get through a debate without, like, Thanset nuking himself. But here's Joe Biden. Now, this is just on February 2nd of this month. And he was talking about South Carolina. Take a listen. Bite 11.
I mean, I'd rather have an outright win, don't get me wrong. And I think I have a real firewall in South Carolina.
Okay, a firewall means a place you are going to win. A place that will, you will win big and really jumpstart. You know, no one can get through you. No one can beat you. And it's going to jumpstart your campaign. And it could be believable if that was by the fourth state that you did something like that with a 20-point victory. But the polls aren't showing a 20-point victory right now for Joe Biden anymore in South Carolina. And just days before now, he's now saying, this is not good news for Joe Biden because it's not good when he starts conflicting with himself. 2.5 weeks later, what is Joe Biden saying about South Carolina? Very telling about what his polling is showing. Not about what the polls that we see nationally, but what his polling is showing, like what Than mentioned, where the momentum is. Momentum is big in these early states, and sometimes that can't be polled. Take a listen, because now he's saying it's not his firewall, which means he's not saying he can outright win there. Take a listen. Bite one. This was just 2 days ago.
South Carolina, though, is your firewall.
You've said it, my firewall. I've never said
it. The campaign has said it's your firewall.
No, it's not firewall. I said I'm going to do well there, and I'll do well there, and I'll do well beyond there as well.
Okay, let's listen again what he said. So he just said, I've never said that. He said, I never said firewall. No, I do think I'll do well there, and I'll do well there beyond. But what did he say 2 weeks ago? Take a listen.
I mean, I'd rather have an outright win, don't get me wrong. And I think I have a real firewall in South Carolina.
I mean, right, exactly. A real firewall right in South Carolina. So this is big. And I want to get back to your calls when we get back to the next segment. But let me go around the room real quickly. If Joe Biden just squeaks out like a 1 or 2 point win, is that a loss for Joe Biden? Is it done for him? Is he finally? I mean, we keep saying, is it done? Is he done? I mean, where does he raise money at that point? If it's not a firewall, is not a 1 or 2 point victory.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at South Carolina, in the Democrat, those who are registered as Democrats, 60% of them are African American, and that's where part of his strong base is. If he cannot pull it off there, or if he barely pulls it off, I think Super Tuesday, the following week, is going to be really, really bad for Joe Biden.
All right, Harry.
Well, I think that the notion that South Carolina is his firewall may indeed be a self-created explosive device that explodes in his face. And so I think it's very, very likely that Joe Biden will go down in flames.
Than?
South Carolina is absolutely his firewall, but the problem for him is it's currently on fire. He's in trouble.
Yeah, his campaign has been on fire for a while now. His debate performances have been, and no one is really, he should be the focus really tonight because this is his must-win state, and yet it's going to be Bernie Sanders and communism. That's why Than is saying this is all benefiting Bernie Sanders because it's going to be Bloomberg Sanders tonight. Where does Joe Biden fit into that debate? He's just going to say he doesn't like
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we have the Democrat debate tonight in South Carolina, and then the vote on Saturday. Now, Bloomberg is not on the ballot there, but he's in the debate tonight. And why is that important? Well, his big Super Tuesday spending spree will be tested 3 days from Saturday. So Super Tuesday, March 3rd, next week, week from today. So his debate performance tonight, like a lot of people said, did he wipe out all of that early spending with his first debate performance? Can he reinvigorate it a bit with this second debate performance? Because I don't see anybody else that's got the resources to even take on Bernie Sanders. And what is, let's just explain how big Super Tuesday is, because how many states you've got to be competing in on one day. So if you know, if you're Mayor Pete, think about this. Campaigns that may raise a couple million dollars after a good performance, or $3 million, 15 states plus American Samoa. And those include some huge states. You're talking the Californians, Californias, the Texases, the North Carolinas, Virginias, Minnesotas, Michigans, Florida. And of the ones we have polling, okay, so the one state that that Bernie is having some trouble in, there's a couple. Minnesota, because of Amy Klobuchar, is from there. And even there, he's only about 5 points behind her there. In Oklahoma, he is in third. That's not surprising, because that's a more moderate voting state for the Democrats that do vote. But who knows, because it's tough to poll these states that are so late. But then you look into Massachusetts, he's beating Elizabeth Warren in the polls there. Think about that. He's beating Massachusetts' own senator in the polls there. Maine, of course, he's in a strong first place. Virginia, he is tied with Bloomberg. So in a more moderate, again, Democrat voting state, tied with Bloomberg. And then in Utah, he's got a giant lead. Those are the states that we have polling on right now. So just think, I mean, to be the one who challenges him, it's either got to be scattershot, to where he just can't put together enough delegates, which leads to that crazy, we're not going to get into that on today's show, that, you know, if there's some kind of convention that's open, and what do you do if you don't have the nominee before, and what happens, because there are still super delegates in the Democrat Party. So is it scattershot that, well, maybe he doesn't win them all here, and maybe he doesn't win them all here, and it's different people taking him out in different places? Or is it more likely what happens is that Bernie Sanders is the overwhelming victor on Super Tuesday next week? That's what I'm predicting 1 week out, is that Bernie Sanders comes away as the big victor on next week. That does not mean he will win every state or every delegate, but no one's ever had to do that. You don't have to win every state or every delegate to be the big victor and to be the one who everybody says, oh, this guy is going to be the nominee. It's just the liberal media doesn't want to even say that. But we got to get to the phones, 1-800-684-31-TIM, because authoritarian Bernie, I guess is what we can call him now, not just crazy Bernie, but crazy authoritarian communist Bernie, is making a lot of news because of his praise of Fidel Castro. Let me go to Maria, calling in from California on line four, who came from Cuba. Take a listen. Maria's on the line now, on line four. Hey, Maria.
Hi. I disagree with Sandra. You know, you hear people saying all the time, oh, let Bernie go to Venezuela and Cuba and, you know, live there, and then he would think differently. No, I think he knows what goes on in Venezuela, where he was the richest country in Latin America, and people are eating out of garbage cans.
Yeah.
But Maduro is not eating out of garbage cans.
No.
You know, Bernie has no intention of giving up his three homes. He wants to redistribute yours and my wealth. And in order to have all of these freebies that he says, you need to have a dictatorship, or what he calls an authoritarian government. I left Cuba in 1962. I was 13 years old. So now I'm 70 years old. And to this day, whenever a car screeches to a halt in front of my house, my stomach clenches, because that is what the secret police used to do.
Mm.
And this is what, you know, they don't understand. So people on my web page will say stuff like, oh, you think that all of Democrats are communists? No, but I think that Bernie Sanders is a communist.
Yeah. And right now he is likely to be, Maria, the leader of the Democrat Party. And when you become the leader of the Democrat Party, guess what? You also take over the Democrat Party. So when you become the nominee for the president, and if you win, you actually take over. This would be a communist or socialist, as you said, Maria, takeover, Harry, of the DNC itself.
Absolutely.
He would be able to clear house there and put in the radicals.
I think that is correct. And I think the caller is very, very perceptive. I don't think Bernie has been deceived about the horrors of communism. I think he has simply drank communist Kool-Aid. Paul Samuelson, the first American to win the Nobel Prize in economics and one of the most influential economists of the 20th century, was a longtime enthusiast for Soviet central planning and predicted that it would lead to a higher standard of living. Who could know, he said, that the data was all fake? Virtually anyone that visited the Soviet Union or Cuba and talked to the Cuban people. Samuelson saw the light after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Guess what? Bernie still has not seen the light.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen the dead people. He hasn't seen the people apprehended by the secret police in the night. Apparently, he hasn't read Darkness at Noon, which talks about the show trials in communist regimes. And so I think, with respect to Bernie, his eyes are simply closed to the evidence. He is a true believer, and that makes him extremely dangerous.
And he knows he'll be part of the elite, Wes, as well. And the elite, they continue their life. You look at how Maduro's family lives. By the way, they don't live in Venezuela. They drive supercars, and they live in mansions overseas. So does the Castro family.
Mm-hmm.
So does even previous dictators' families are taken care of that way. So they don't even live in the countries their family, their parents dictate,
if you will. Every place that socialism has taken over with the redistribution of wealth and government mandates for equality and what have you, in every one of them, it becomes quickly apparent in nations that tried this that there was still private wealth and control of very valuable property. However, the wealth and property became the domain of a select group of socialist leaders. It was the penultimate redistribution of wealth. And this is what is so ironic. Elitism has always been foundational to socialism, as crazy as that sounds, and Bernie is buying into it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
You know, his target was millionaires for years until he became one. Now his target is billionaires, but his target is also the individual freedom of every American, whatever their financial status might be.
Yeah. Let's go to Christine in South Dakota on line 5. Christine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to also say real quick, thank you for your patriotism and everything that you guys do for
the Constitution
and America. I'm a big patriot. But my question is, I think Bernie Sanders is a real threat. And I wanted to know, I mean, he has the following, just like President Trump had a huge following. He has a big following with the kids, and they don't understand, and I get that. What do you think, I think it's pretty obvious he's going to be the nominee for the Democrats.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a real threat, a big threat, that he could actually win?
I think the country is very divided. I think it would take a lot of Democrats getting over the issues that they have with Bernie Sanders. Do I think he can win? I think at this point it'd be very difficult for Bernie Sanders to actually become president of the United States. Do I think he will make it a very tough fight? Absolutely. And then if Republicans stay at home, there's a caller calling in about this, so I want to take their call when we come back from the break. In fact, let's take it now. Let's take Mark's call from Illinois, because it ties right into what you're asking about. Mark from Illinois on line 1, I think he's right on. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, Lord's blessings to you and your entire team.
Thank you.
What my fear is there's so much talk about that Trump will demolish Bernie Sanders that a lot of us may not go out and vote. And we clearly need to get out there and make this a humiliating red tidal wave yeah. loss. So they'll think twice before another socialist is nominated for Senate, for House, and definitely for the president.
You know, it's right. It's why, Mark, I wrote, and I'm holding up for Facebook Periscope, in a time when we didn't know about Bernie Sanders, but it's why I wrote The Next Red Wave, in a time where every poll, it shows Donald Trump trailing everybody. This is the kind of moment. You got your post-impeachment and an acquittal. You had these Democrats out of control. Adam Schiff going after Bernie Sanders. Russia now is for Bernie Sanders, not with Trump, and it's a whole... This is when you can get the next red wave. But if you read this book, what it says is it doesn't just come because of all this news. It comes because of a wave of voters, a wave of activism. No more of this silent majority, but vocal support for the president, for the conservative policies, for the other candidates running, so that the House changes, so the Senate is empowered with more conservatives as well. That's how you get an next red wave. That's why we wrote the book, exactly, Marcus, because if people sit back, Bernie Sanders does have a following, a very strong one. He's winning primaries and caucuses for the second time in a row. And I don't think he's going to let it be stolen away from him this time. We'll talk about more when we come back from the break.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
All right, in our final segment, we take calls. We remind you tonight, another Democrat debate. This one in South Carolina, because South Carolina votes Saturday in their primary. Super Tuesday is 3 days after that. It's a week from today. Mike Bloomberg says he's going to nuke Bernie. Everybody's going to go after Bernie. So South Carolina is supposed to be the firewall for Joe Biden. Is he even going to, you know, what's his debate role tonight? So again, if you can stomach it and you're interested, you know, you follow this stuff closely, I would watch the debate tonight if you can't. If you can't get through it, maybe you got other obligations, we'll have full coverage of it tomorrow on the broadcast for you. But let me go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill calling from Wyoming Online 6. Bill, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My thoughts are with you. I lost a family member a couple of months ago, so
thank you.
I can understand what you're going through.
I appreciate that, Bill.
Personally, I'd like for Bernie to answer one question. 20 years ago, we had a flotilla of Cubans crossing the Caribbean to get away from that country. How does he respond to that since authoritarianism is so good?
Yeah, right. Why do people risk their lives in little boats on tiny pieces of wood to flee? Why do we have policies that say if you get here, you can stay? Because it's so bad what you're fleeing. Why are we so upset when we sent that child home who's become a propaganda tool of the communist regime and stormed that family's home by gun under the Clinton administration? A lot of this has been simmering in the Democrat Party. I'll be honest, Harry. It's been simmering since the days of Elian Gonzalez that really Cuba's not that bad, and so we'll even send a kid back there.
Absolutely. So the Democrats increasingly have drunk from what might be called the well of progressivism. And so their claim is that if a dictatorship, however authoritarian, claims to be progressive, claims to put the people first, then it's difficult for the Democrats to criticize the regime, no matter how brutal, no matter how evil that regime may be. And so I think this debate, as you correctly point out, Jordan, has been simmering below the surface. But now I think this debate will assume center stage. And I think the American people will have to make a decision. Are they willing to fight hard for the country that now exists? Are they willing to strongly support the Constitution and the rule of law? Or are they willing to buy Bernie Sanders' socialist Kool-Aid, which essentially promises everything to everyone at the same time without bothering to explain the cost? It's important to keep in mind in this entire debate that one of the central pillars of Bernie Sanders' approach has been to double down on Medicare for all. And he often refers to Canada. And he talks about the fact that everything in Canada is wonderful. Well, guess what? Canadians actually have private insurance. Canadians have long lines. Canadian healthcare is rationed. In Canada, you have to get permission from the physician before he will treat you. In other words, he has the right to deny you treatment under Canadian healthcare. So I think if you look at Canada, you can see the future of Medicare for all, deteriorating healthcare for everyone, and arguably we could rename Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All program Medicare and Healthcare for None, if you can get it.
Yeah, I want to go right back to the phones. I want to get these calls in. Roger in Minnesota, line 5. I just want to answer. I think we can answer this one very quickly because, wow, that your friend even asked this question, Roger. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call, and sorry for your loss. You're in your family's
thank
loss.
You.
I'll be praying for you. A friend of mine supports Bernie. He put up a posting that said 72 items listed of democratic socialism in the United States. One is Social Security, public schools, colleges, street maintenance, snow and trash removal for towns and cities, police, state troopers, and election and voting.
No, I mean, listen, let me just answer like this. Those are not democratic, socialist, or communist programs. Those are infrastructure programs. So we pay taxes. And our founding fathers knew we'd pay taxes, that we would need to pay taxes. And we've had constitutional amendments on how to apportion those correctly. And we update the tax code so that because we all use the roads, we all need to chip in. Is it the most effective always? I would say no. The government has actually shown time and time again, it's not the best at infrastructure. It hasn't shown that, like, just because we all chip in a lot with our taxes, that all the roads are perfect. In fact, that's why we keep talking about needing big infrastructure reforms and big infrastructure programs. But we certainly need the roads. We need the police. Social Security is to take care of those at a certain age. And so there are some safety nets put in. That's pretty common in the Western world. And it doesn't mean you're a socialist country or to have a program like Medicaid to take, which is to help those in need to get medical care, or Medicare to help those who are past the working age to continue to receive insurance programs, because it actually benefits if it's done correctly. And I'm not saying those programs are perfect and they don't need reforms. But President Trump said he is not messing with those. That's not part of his what he's run on. That's not his thing. So that whole Democrat line of they want to take away your Medicaid and your Medicare and your Social Security is wrong. And President Trump has literally put it out in tweets in all caps. He said it 1,000 times. But they do need reforms to survive. And I'd say maybe those are the closest to anything like that. But still, they're very targeted programs. One is that the most vulnerable people, I guess, people who are in dire economic situation, you have Medicaid, so that their kids can get health care, so that they can get health care, and then hopefully rejoin the workforce. Medicare, so the elderly that we provide health care for. And a lot of times, that's because in a capitalist society, this should actually be benefiting. So having the good roads, having safe streets because of police and safe neighborhoods, having these social safety nets should actually, and having Social Security, so you know you have some kind of, if you need it, income coming back after you've worked. By the way, that's a tax you've paid, so it's money coming back to you. But that actually is good for capitalism because it provides the ways of doing business. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I think Harry could probably write, 30 to 40 pages on that, and or maybe an entire book on why that's not socialism and why your friend is trying to disguise the truth. What is socialism is saying, now, when it's not just Medicare reimbursements, we're actually going to run the healthcare system. We're going to run all of it through your tax dollars. That's not Medicare reimbursements. Under Medicare, the government's not running everything. They're reimbursing private places. I wish I could have gotten every call today, but we're not going to be able to do it. I mean, people copies of my book, The Next Red Wave, and I have a feeling this topic is going to come up a lot. But I encourage you tonight, let's see what the Democrats try to do to Bernie Sanders. Here's the problem, though. If there's still 6 Democrats, and there's more on ballots, depending on which state you're voting in on Super Tuesday, on that stage tonight, who are going to not just attack Bernie, but also attack Mike Bloomberg, and also attack Joe Biden, and also attack Mayor Pete, and also attack Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. They're not going to be able to nuke Bernie. He's the one that keeps going through these debates without a real glove on him, even though he's giving candidates, he's giving everybody the talking point to take him, that should take him down. But we live in a time period where will it take him down in this Democrat Party?
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.